This is 89.9 WWNL. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a stellar lineup of entertainment at Essence Fest, a bird's-eye view of new sculptures dotting our landscape, or an old-school evening of song, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Summertime brings the Essence Festival to New Orleans. This party with a purpose is gearing up with a stellar lineup of entertainers, speakers, and arts and crafts over the July 4th weekend. Joining me is Essence Magazine Editor-in-Chief Vanessa DeLuca. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This is a time when you actually make the pages of Essence Magazine come to life. What will be the major focus of this year's festival?
Community, fun, and empowerment. The festival started 22 years ago in New Orleans, basically as a celebration of the 25th anniversary of the magazine. And it was so successful that we decided to do it again and again. And what I love about the festival the most is that it's not just a party. It really truly is a party with a purpose. That was kind of the mandate that Susan L. Taylor, our editor emerita, set forth in the beginning. She said, you know, we can't just come to New Orleans and have concerts. We really have to bring people more than that. So I love the fact that it is a full, complete experience where you get to enjoy communing and learning together by day and then at night enjoying the concerts.
So let's get back to that party with a purpose. What is the purpose of the party this year?
To really focus on some of the critical issues that we're facing in our community. Saturday in particular, there's going to be some incredible conversations around what's going on in our cities. We'll have mayors from across the country, including the mayor of Flint, Michigan, will be joining us. We'll have conversation with Reverend Al Sharpton, Ayanla Van Zandt, the mothers of the movement I'm particularly interested in hearing from. That's Sabrina Fulton, Lucy McBath, mothers who've gone through some extraordinary circumstances, losing loved ones to gun violence, police brutality. They'll be talking about what we can do as a community to support one another and find some solutions to all of these really serious issues that are going on in our community. That's a very informing and enlightening day. But then there's also kind of, we want to make sure you have fun too, right? So the purpose is also to have a little bit of escape, and we'll have that throughout the weekend as well. The Real is coming. They're bringing their talk show. We'll have Tyra Banks, Misty Copeland for the first time, talking about her story, her life story, which we all know is extraordinary, being the first prima ballerina at the American Ballet Theater. It really is going to be, I think, a festival to remember.
Essence is an African-American women's magazine. How do those outside of that demographic relate to the festival?
You know, there's something for everyone at the festival. If you enjoy fantastic music, you have the nighttime concerts at the Superdome with people like Mariah Carey, a global sensation, a global artist, people like Kendrick Lamar, Babyface, Puff Daddy and the Family, artists that are renowned and loved worldwide. And then during the daytime at the convention center, there are speakers that are internationally known. Everyone from Soledad O'Brien to a Melissa Harris Perry, people that speak to issues that aren't just relatable to our community, but they're relatable universally.
There are seminars that you call empowerment seminars.
That's correct. That happens on the Empowerment Experience stage every day from 9 to 5. You can come to the Empowerment Experience and learn about money and power. You can learn about relationships. You can learn about beauty and style. In fact, this is the first time this year we're introducing a whole beauty and style expo, where you can learn from people like Tyra Banks, Mahogany Curls, Lion Babe. All these really extraordinary beauty and style mavens are coming to the festival to give tips and workshops. And then if your interest is in entrepreneurship, we have the Money and Power Expo. Entrepreneurs that are just starting, entrepreneurs that are running and growing will all be there giving their inspiring workshop advice, how-tos, and great takeaways on how to start, run, and grow a business.
What are some of the challenges in putting a festival of this size together?
the biggest challenge is, how do you keep it interesting? How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it new? Every single year, as soon as one festival ends, we start planning for the next one, trying to make sure that it's a unique experience for everyone.
You are also moving on an international stage.
Yes, it's so exciting. Later this year, November 8th through the 13th, we will be doing the Essence Festival in Durban, South Africa, which has been a long time dream and goal of ours to take the festival international. You'll have the same kind of experience. There'll be empowerment seminars, there'll be workshops, there'll be opportunities to shop and enjoy great food. But then also, of course, we'll have concerts at night, including the gospel experience, which is one of the most popular parts of the festival here and probably there too.
Why did you want to take it overseas?
You know, we've always had a dream of Essence having a global presence. And it just so happens that Durban is a sister city to New Orleans. So it seemed like the perfect opportunity to take all these conversations that we're having, especially around empowerment and entrepreneurship and embracing our own style and beauty. They're having the same conversations really worldwide. And we realized that it was the right time to connect and to bridge that gap and really show how much we are so very much alike, you know, more the same than different.
And your overall vision for Essence and the festival?
To just remind ourselves daily that we see you, we hear you, we appreciate and value you. And I think now more than ever, with so much that's going on in our communities, that's a message that we need to hear, that we can come together as a community, that we do know how to support one another, that we do have dreams that can be realized and fulfilled. We all need to be reminded of that every now and then. And the Essence Festival is a place where that message is clear and it's carried throughout every experience that you have, both day and night. You come, you fill up your cup, and it prepares you to go out and just face the world with a whole new perspective and a really good feeling.
Essence Editor-in-Chief Vanessa DeLuca, thanks.
Thank you.
The 2016 Essence Festival opens next Thursday with a day of service dedicated to youth, mentorship, and education, and runs through Sunday, July 3rd, with events in the Morial Convention Center and Mercedes-Benz Superdome. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNL, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Six new sculptures now line the Poydras Corridor, and if you have driven the stretch between South Claiborne and South Galvez, no doubt you've seen the avian avatars, five 20-foot bird sculptures by the artist duo The Mythmakers. The exhibition, presented by the Hellas Foundation, is part of the mid-city expansion of sculpture along the Poydras Corridor. Joining me now by phone is Jesse Haynes, Deputy of Civic and Philanthropic Affairs at the Hellas Foundation. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you, Diane. It's great to be on.
This is an exciting post-Katrina project that just keeps growing. Tell us how it got its start.
Sculpture for New Orleans is an organization founded by Mr. Michael Mangeris. After Hurricane Katrina, Michael wanted to work on some public art in New Orleans to be sure to kind of uplift the spirits of post-Katrina New Orleanians and the community, just as a means of reviving neighborhoods and exciting people and providing them with something uplifting. So Sculpture for New Orleans, that organization, began placing public sculpture throughout the downtown area.
And now we move forward to the latest installments. Let's begin with the birds. They are massive.
They're enormous, and everyone is seeming to respond really well to them, both on ground as well as from the interstate, because you can see them kind of underneath you as you cruise above Claiborne.
What was the inspiration for these works?
Their works are created by an artist duo called the Mythmakers. This exhibit actually has traveled. This is its third iteration. It was first in the Garment District in New York, and then most recently in Michigan. The artists use found objects and saplings to create these enormous sculptures. And each of them have their own name and description, which at some point we'll be putting the descriptions out on signage. They're monumental in scale, but they are temporary in nature. So they are very site-specific, and they really do only last about 5 years maximum. They appear, they fade, and then they disappear, which is one of the sort of interesting things about these pieces, is that they're really not something that are supposed to last forever.
Yeah. Can you take us through the specific sculptures, each bird by name?
The first one is called the Realist. That is the one that's at Poydras and South Galvez, which is actually the farthest street away from the expansion of the project. The quote that comes with it is, "When it comes to luck, you make your own," by Bruce Springsteen. That will be included on the signage in front of it. The next one is Poydras Street between South Galvez and South Johnson. That bird is called the Great Spirit. The next one is called the Scold, and that one is between South Johnson and South Prayer. Then there's the Tourist between South Prayer and Bertrand Street. The quote that comes with this one is a Malcolm Gladwell quote, actually, and it's, "Who we are cannot be separated from where we're from." And then the last one is called the Tastemaker. That's kind of the first avian avatar that you see as you're making your way down the sculpture exhibition. There's also an app that you can call in, and once you download, you type in the number, and when you're in front of different signs, you can learn more about the artists as well as the pieces. There's actually some really neat artist interviews, photographs, and pictures describing the artist's process.
Now, the myth makers, who are they, and do they usually work with nature and animals in nature?
It's two individuals. Moorline and Dodson are their names, and they find it very interesting to take inspiration from the mysterious nature of animals, and that sparks their imagination in all of their works. A lot of their works are monumental in scale, particularly these. Something that they love to work in is this sort of ephemeral idea that nothing lasts forever, and that these sculptures particularly appear and fade and disappear.
There is another work in addition to the birds, a work by William Kennings.
Yeah, Stacked V is a piece. There's been a lot of interesting chatter on social media about it because it's so colorful and it's set up against One Shell Square with that sort of white background. So it's very obvious right in the middle of Poydras. And that sculpture pad is on the same section of the neutral ground as James Searle's piece, which is the verdigris steel flower. This sort of has a definitely a different look from the piece that it's closest to. And William Kennings is a native of England, but he is a professor of sculpture actually in Texas. And he has exhibited all over the world. Stacked V is actually individual squares that are painted in different colors. They're made of steel that are cut and then welded together. And then, interestingly, they're inflated with air pressure. So they look like balloons, but they're made of steel, which I think is really sort of this interesting contrast. And if it gets kind of caught in the right breeze or wind, they spin on their axes. So you can sometimes catch them almost looking like they're floating because they do look like stacked helium balloons.
Wow. Is this the only kinetic sculpture on the corridor?
The other kinetic sculpture that is actually a part of the Hellas Foundation collection is Lynn Emery's Octet. And that piece is located right in front of the Pan American Life Building on the neutral ground. And that particular part of Poydras tends to be very, very, very breezy. So pretty much throughout the day, you can see it moving in various directions, which, of course, the kinetic work is so typical of Lynn Emery's practice.
Do you know how many works are currently installed along the corridor?
Well, so far, there's been 26 sculptures, starting with the John Henry piece in front of Harrah's all the way down to the Funnel Tunnel. Some pieces do remain because they're part of the Hellas Foundation collection, but the goal, of course, is to continually rotate pieces in and out just to continue that sense of excitement and provide that access to interesting, unique, new art for the public.
What does an increase in public art say about a community?
It explains what the community holds up and places in high importance. And in New Orleans, this community places access to art and the ability to be inspired by art as a high priority.
Jesse Haynes, Deputy of Civic and Philanthropic Affairs at the Helles Foundation. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Diane.
The Poydras Corder Sculpture Exhibition is presented by the Helles Foundation in partnership with Sculpture for New Orleans, the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, and the City of New Orleans Department of Parks and Parkways. And speaking of songbirds, two Broadway veterans with local ties are bringing cabaret theater back to a local saloon. Leslie Castay and Justin Lee Miller are teaming up for Old School, an evening of classics from Broadway and the Great American Songbook. Both are in the studio. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Now, Leslie, you were dubbed the Queen of New Orleans Cabaret after your one-woman show at the now-shuttered Le Chat Noir. How did you and Justin come together with the idea for this new show?
Well, I don't know if you realize this, but I am currently working on my master's degree at Tulane University, as is Justin Lee Miller. Mm-hmm. And we were brought together in a seminar last semester with Professor Michael McKelvey, who is also the artistic director of Summer Lyric Theater. And we started investigating repertoire and styles and teaching styles. And Justin and I discovered our affinity for the old classics, for the old Broadway, Great American Songbook standards, Rodgers and Hart, Cole Porter, Gershwin, Irving Berlin. We just love all of that. And we looked at each other and said, we should work on a show. And I said, I know what to call it, Old School. Because I'm old and I'm in school. So long story short, Old School actually became a recital that Justin and I put together in the spring on campus at Tulane. And it went so well that with a little tweaking, I thought, I haven't done cabaret in a while. This could be a really good show to bring back to New Orleans.
And what can we look forward to?
If you love Cole Porter, if you love Rodgers and Hart, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Irving Berlin, a little Fats Waller, Jerome Kern.
Mm-hmm. We also do a couple of jazz standards. How could a show about Old School not include the song Teach Me Tonight, which is a great torchy standard that I've always wanted an excuse to sing. Mm-hmm. What else? Oh, Dietz and Schwartz, one of my favorite underrated songwriting duos. They wrote for Hollywood a lot in the 40s and 50s. Dancing in the Dark is one of their great standards they're known for. They wrote the song That's Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of their songs are so beautiful, but they sort of went under the radar these days. In the last couple of decades, they've sort of gotten backburnered. So I do a beautiful standard from their catalog.
It's not one of those kinds of cabaret shows where we're singing, you know, My Funny Valentine all night. It's really got a lot of variety, a lot of humor, and
It's not a preachy-teachy show.
No.
You know, and it's not academic at all.
Yeah. There's some anecdotes about our time together. Actually, we both had Broadway careers and lived in New York for many years, but we never met in New York. Mm-hmm. We finally met here in New Orleans. And so we're putting this show together. It's kind of it's a little bit of a love song to New York, but also kind of recognizing that we have this history.
It's great.
Performance.
It's great. We're separated by 1 or 2 degrees.
Yeah,
at
exactly.
Most.
Exactly.
I'll mention a show I did in New York, and he was with such and such, and he'll mention a show he did. Oh, I worked there at that theater.
Yeah,
I know these people.
It's a very small world.
It's a very small world.
Yeah.
So I'm just great to have him next to me on stage.
Now, I understand you also do a little Sweet Baby James.
That's right. James Taylor, 1977, a very modern song from 1977. I think it still classifies as old school. One of my favorite songs, Secret of Life, sort of sums up my philosophy of getting older, getting to the top of the hill. It's just a beautiful song.
Tell us a little bit more about your backgrounds working on Broadway.
I've worked both in the Broadway world on Broadway, shows like Phantom of the Opera and On the Town. But I also work in the opera world. I just did, if anyone in the audience saw Tosca at New Orleans Opera, I made my New Orleans Opera debut this season in Tosca. So I also work in that world as well as the Broadway world.
And my background is obviously Broadway musicals on stage, film, TV, drama, musical, storytelling world, I like to say. You know, we're telling stories, and you're a storyteller, too. Now we get to hold microphones and tell stories in an intimate,
in a much smaller,
glamorous cabaret space.
Much smaller room than we usually perform in.
There's no hiding. You know what I mean? You're in a small room. The people are 3 feet away from you, and a false move or a false emotion is going to read immediately. So I love the close-up intimacy of performing a song with just a piano and the audience right there. Cabaret is a magical theatrical experience. I think a lot of the secret to cabaret is the shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of finding a universal emotion that we can all relate to. We've all gone through love. We've all gone through heartbreak. We've all gone through loss and happiness and those joyous moments and all these great emotions and all these wonderful songs. And it's just great to share that with the audience. You're sort of their conduit in a strange way. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Broadway veterans Leslie Castay and Justin Lee Miller, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Can you guys sing us out?
You're the top. You're an arrow collar. You're the top. You're a silver dollar. You're the nimble tread on the feet of Fred Astaire. You're an O'Neill drama. You're Whistler's mama. You're a Camembert.
You're the top. You're the Colosseum. You're the top. You're the Louvre Museum. You're a melody from a symphony by Strauss. You're a Bendel bonnet, a Shakespeare sonnet. You're Mickey Mouse.
Leslie Castay and Justin Lee Miller perform Old School, an evening of classics from Broadway and the Great American Songbook at the Little Gem Saloon, 445 South Rampart Street, Friday, 8 p.m. More info is online at littlegemsaloon.com. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.